This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. It's hour number three of the nation. We are an hour and a half from some Mavs basketball as they will take on the Trailblazers. Two more games in the bubble this evening's and then tomorrow's against the Phoenix Suns. And that'll be a wrap for play in the bubble. And then it'll be up to their playoff opponent. Both teams competing for playoff seeding still. Portland, if they get in, do you guys know the play-in format?
Okay, so whoever's in ninth plays against whoever's in eighth, and the ninth team has to win two in a row, and the eighth team just has to beat them once, right?
That's it.
Yeah, that's so fantastic.
Yeah. I like it. I like it a lot.
You got to earn it. But I'm sure all three of those teams, San Antonio, Portland, Phoenix, would like their chances against Memphis right now.
What if there's a tie for ninth? Do they have to play each other first, and then you would play for eighth?
It's a good question. I mean,
this could be fun.
I was happy to see that it's just a two-game series. I didn't know how long they were going to drag it out. I don't think America wants to wait any longer than necessary for these NBA playoffs. But there are a lot of interesting storylines, including an incredible NBA conspiracy theory to talk about. It's been on Twitter. And now it's becoming a little bit more mainstream. I actually read this on CBSSports.com anymore. The hottest conspiracy theory in the NBA is that Lakers rivals in the West are trying to help Portland become the eighth seed in the playoffs. The Trailblazers have been one of the more impressive teams in the bubble. They beat Houston. They beat Denver. They nearly beat Boston. They would have beat the Clippers if Damian Lillard makes two free throws. So when Clippers coach Doc Rivers rested Kawhi Leonard on Saturday against the Trailblazers and then pulled his other star Paul George from the game with 5 minutes remaining and the Clippers trailing by three, eyebrows were raised. And it was like, hello, is this legitimate confirmation of the conspiracy? Was this an attempt to throw the game to improve the chances the Lakers could possibly lose to the Trailblazers, who got Nurkic and Collins back because of the layover? They had season-ending surgeries. And I guess Nurkic was expected to come back late in the season, but Collins wasn't. So they get both these guys back along with Hassan Whiteside. It's an old school matchup, plus the backcourt combination of Lillard and McCollum. Rivers said George simply was on a minutes restriction. Uh-huh. And then he was asked, do you think Portland could beat the Lakers? He says, I don't get involved in that. Uh-huh. I honestly don't look at it. I heard our guys talking about it. I'm like, listen, that's their business. Our business is who we are playing. We need to focus on that. So he's aware of the conspiracy. His players had talked about it. He pulls Paul George after pulling Kawhi Leonard. I don't know. That's an awful lot lining up. What do you guys say?
I absolutely, totally, 100% buy it. Completely. Like, at first when you said it, like the other teams in the West are out to get LeBron and the Lakers, I was very skeptical. But if you just say, hey, the Clippers are seeing if they can get somebody to do them a favor, and they think the Blazers have the better shot to do it, and you have the power to manipulate it a little bit, absolutely. Because I would do it.
Yeah.
Like, I know there's a lot of sports fans that are like, no, you try your best to win every game.
No,
you don't. You try to win a championship.
Yeah.
And if you think I could throw a game to Portland, and that gives them a better chance to be in, and I think they have a better chance to knock off the Lakers than another team that might play them, I'm trying to put Portland against the Lakers 100%.
There's so much on the line. I could see it happen. And I think you made a great point that it would be hard to believe that it was a league-wide or conference-wide conspiracy, but just the Clippers brought us. I'm buying that. I think that's a good point by Jeff.
Yeah, but it is an excellent point. I think the Lakers teams might not need to worry about the Lakers, to be honest with you. I'm hearing some things going on within the Lakers organization there in the bubble. There's some issues going on there that LeBron's not talking about.
You know, he had one rebound in their last game.
I reached out, and I know this sounds so weird. but it's true. I know some Lakers scouts and stuff like that, people in the organization and things. And I asked, I go, what's going on? And I couldn't get anybody to answer me back. So maybe, you know, we're worrying, everybody's talking about conspiracy theories and so, and it might actually be right. You know, general, everything you presented makes a whole heck of a lot of sense. But something might be on the Lakers that we don't know about, that if they do get into the playoffs, that we start to figure out, oh, this is what they're talking about. Because LeBron is like, you know, people are kind of starting to question some things, and he's keeping his mouth shut. I'd heard about it through some other sources and was just kind of curious, so I reached out, and I didn't get a very good answer back on that.
Well, I mean, Avery Bradley and Rondo out hurts them. Especially sure. defending these teams.
But there's
teams.
Something more going yeah, on no. within the team.
That he they... said there was something going on off the court that he couldn't control.
Exactly, exactly, you know? Yeah.
And the last time we heard something about this, it was the 2011 Western Conference playoff second round, and there were reports something weird was going on with Pau Gasol's wife or girlfriend or, you know, and I remember Sean Sharif went to the Lakers shoot-around and asked him about that, and there was no comment. So who knows? Maybe the drama of La La Land is catching up with them. They did beat Denver last night, which is a really good win for them. You have LeBron,
miracle
but
shot,
so
yeah.
far in the bubble, the Clippers look like the stronger team, and the Lakers look like they've lost something from that post-All-Star break, that run they were on shortly before the outage. I don't know if the Blazers could beat them. I mean, you're talking about a team that was, what, 30-39 going into the bubble?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Zach Collins and Yusuf Nurkic. You know,
I mean, but it's worth taking a shot if you're the Clippers. I mean,
sure.
Look, you know, you're not.
Maybe extend the series, get them tired or something.
You're not afraid of them as a team. You're just strategizing. You're just like, hey, okay. maybe Dame could do this. Let's give him a chance.
Okay, next topic here in Around the NBA, G-Bag Nation. Here's another one that we've seen quite a bit on Twitter and has gone mainstream with the mainstream media a bit more. Jalen Rose on praise for Luka. James Harden's been doing this. Let's not act like James Harden hasn't been giving us 50-point triple-doubles and Russell Westbrook didn't just average a triple-double 2 years ago. Luka Doncic, James Harden's been doing this. Let's not act like so I repeated that quote. I double-posted it. So that's basically his point. I think I do think there's a little bit of truth in there for sure. I think number one, when you hit the scene as a superstar, you get the buzz. You're the new guy. It's like, hey, I would also say Luka's more of a real point guard, I think, than James Harden or Russell Westbrook. James Harden is a two guard who in today's game gets the full green light and gets to handle it. And Russell Westbrook is a very much attack point guard. So I would say it's a little bit different, but, you know, when it comes to just volume and usage, I think the Luka-James Harden comparison is very accurate. Maybe James Harden never got the love that Luka is getting. I think that's a fair point.
I think it's fine. The only difference is this is Luka's, what, age 21 season, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Westbrook at 21 was 16 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds. James Harden at 21 was 12 points, 12, 2
yeah.
assists,
mm-hmm.
3 rebounds. And I don't have Luka's numbers in front of me, but he's 21.
Yeah,
that's the story.
Yeah, the prodigy.
Nobody does this at 21.
Yeah,
it's absurd.
If you could pick which one you'd want Luka to be, Harden or Westbrook?
Harden. Yeah,
he can shoot.
Okay, but I mean, for them to win though, are they going to have to go in with him being attack mode?
I think it's much easier to get Harden to play different styles of basketball. I think Westbrook only has a couple of different speeds.
Okay, but do you think Luka? We talked about this. How the Mavericks are going to win a series or be competitive in a series we think it's Luka attacking the basket.
Absolutely, Luka. You know, being in a LeBron James type of role.
Right.
You know, I think. You know, that's the separator from Harden and Westbrook and why I would take Luka's career over either of those two. When you have that that vision and the ability to keep all of your teammates involved and hit them with those kinds of passes that build excitement and chemistry, it just breeds such great energy on the court amongst your teammates. I think what Harden and Westbrook do is more of an on an island. Although they do get the assists, all assists aren't created the same. And I think I'm really nitpicking. You know, I think they're all basically having a similar impact on winning. But the ability to command the entire floor and have the eyes not only in the back of your head, but, you know, the hook shot pass that he threw into the corner shortly before the pandemic. It's just ridiculous the kinds of things that he can demonstrate. And when you have that trait, a Magic Johnson ability to facilitate, I think it does legitimately separate you. I don't think that's bias on Mavericks fans' parts.
Yeah, but if you get a bunch of jobbers playing with him, you know, that's what I mean. Yeah, you need.
Yeah, as far as in the playoffs, once you get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, right now with this team in this playoff series,
sure,
we need them to not trust their teammates.
Right.
You know,
that's what I'm leading up to here.
Unless they're hot.
Hey, him and KP. You know, hey, be impressive and make sure you don't get bounced. You know, and get other people to like buy into what you're doing. Hey, I want to go with those two guys. You know, get other people around the league to have a little respect about you. Change all those jobbers out and let's build a team, you know, with guys coming on board and wanting to beat and wanting to play with two young superstars.
It's not easy to try to pull it off with a tank supporting cast, because that's what those guys are. They're tank parts.
Sure.
And you're going up against, you know, teams that have been built to contend for now. I think the worst thing they do in trying to figure out how do we close in this situation is they take their foot off the gas. So you end up with Luka coming down and throwing it to somebody so we can pass it around for 15 seconds, or you have Luka dribbling. They're genius when they just run their offense, you know? So I think when it comes down to the final 2 minutes, they need Luka and Porzingis to be more selfish.
Right.
But if you are going to pass, do it after you've executed your offense like it was the previous 46 minutes of the game. And then you're giving the ball to the guys after you've got the defense off balance. You know, and I think it's those sorts of game management things that, you know, should have been remedied by now. Very, very frustrating what happened in the first four games of the bubble. But, yeah, Jalen Rose putting that out there. And I think you are going to be in for a lot of that until Luka wins a championship. That's what separates these guys. Harden is a basketball god. So is Westbrook. To pull off what they've pulled off, he's matching Jordan. Westbrook is matching the Big O. It's incredible what these guys have done. They won't get that respect unless they get championships, and Luka won't either. You know, that's kind of what allows these guys to be slotted. And whether it's Dominique Wilkins, you know, Charles Barkley, those guys were so much better than players that get propped up and held up there throughout history because they got the jewelry in the end. Okay, when we come back, G-Bag Nation, it is time for Jeff and Brian's segment of the day. Gents, what are we discussing?
Cowboys offense's untalked about secret weapon is next in the nation.
All righty. Thank you, Jared. And Jared's going to join us coming up at 6 o'clock for Rangers Talk. It'll be an awesome noon hour tomorrow with KNC, Woody at 12:20, and then Boban at 12:40. It's time now to hear what Jeff and Brian have prepared for us. The segment is brought to you by Ultimate Choice Roofing and Remodeling. And it's brought to you by Rubin and Associates. If you're drowning in debt, call our guy Mark Rubin, 1-800-LAWYERS. He'll talk with you personally. Take control of your debt. Eliminate your stress and allow you to live life again. Starts with a simple confidential phone call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. Jeff and Brian.
The Dallas Cowboys. I'm Jeff, by the way.
Brian.
The Dallas Cowboys are going to practice in shells on Friday. We're almost there. And I was reading, donging around on the internet, as I'm prone to do from time to time. I was donging around there, and I found an article by our buddy Josh Hermsmeyer at 538.com. Now, Brian, heads up now. If I ever tell you I got something from Josh Hermsmeyer at 538, it's going to be some nerdy stuff.
Okay.
So you got to take the crusty hat off, and we'll try to work our way through incredibly complicated and new numbers. It's all new to me, too, so it'll be a fun adventure for everybody.
Hermsmeyer, is this gentleman's name?
Hermsmeyer, yeah. Good dude.
All right.
So what I read of his that caught my attention, you know, they're trying to come up with all these new numbers in football. For instance, one of them is completion percentage over expected, right? A lot of people have seen that number now where they'll take every quarterback and they'll look at every throw, the depth of the throw, the coverage, all these different things. And they'll say, okay, what percentage of the time do we expect that to be completed? And then what does this quarterback do? And they'll rank quarterbacks that way. Well, they are trying to come up with a metric that measures how good receivers are at creating separation. So what they did was they broke out their Jetsons equipment. What was their robot's name? Meet George
Rona?
Jetson.
Verona.
Jane. His wife.
Rosie?
Daughter. Rosie was that. Rosie, yeah.
Yes.
Rosie, yeah.
Okay.
Great job.
Oh, Mr. J.
So they.
Another great one.
They input a bunch of stuff into their version of Rosie over here at 538, and I'll start to read you how they did this, and then I'll peter out because I don't care, and I'll just tell you they tried their best. They used NFL Next Gen stats data that measures the distance between a receiver and the nearest defender at key moments in each play. Even something that straightforward, they say, is complicated because, for instance, should we contextualize it based on how much separation there was when the quarterback let the ball go or when the ball got there? And so they just threw 9,642 different factors into the mix, and they said, all right, let's pop it in there and let's see which receivers are the best at creating separation at all different levels of the field. We'll go short, we'll go intermediate, we'll go deep. And so on the short list, the only name that relates to the Cowboys in any way, well, there's two names that at least relate to the Cowboys. It's Cole Beasley from last year and DeMarco Murray from 17, but he wouldn't have been a Cowboy at that point. But they're the only names that show up on the short list. And most of these guys, because it's short passes, the most of them, congrats, you got open, but the points added per play is very small, so it really doesn't even matter. But Cole Beasley is good at getting open, not good at the points added per play when they throw to him. The only guys on the short list that are worth mentioning is that somehow Devontae Adams and Zach Ertz managed to be really good at getting open. And on short plays, they get you a bunch of expected points added per play, so that's nice. Now, I want to go down to the intermediate range. I believe this is between 5 and 15 yards for wide receivers. And I'm kind of surprised they didn't see Amari Cooper here at all. And they just have the top 15 seasons for separation over expected per play. It's the top 15 over the last 3 years is all they have tracking for it. And the names at the very, very top is not surprising because it's two of the guys we talk about as being, well, you know, they're not the fastest guys and they're not the most athletically gifted, but man, they can run routes. Devontae Adams and Keenan Allen lead the way. Devontae Adams is two of the top three, actually. And Keenan Allen is the second best season over the last three. Keenan Allen's on the list twice in the last 3 years. Michael Thomas is on there once. Cooper Kupp. Guys like that. So none of that really catches my eye because I'd like to see outside the top 15. I'd like to see how Amari Cooper ranks and how good he is at it because I think he would rank fairly well at the very least. But I scroll down to the very bottom, and this is where I get interested. When I get to the bottom, the guys who get the most separation per play on deep balls, balls thrown more than 15 yards down the field, DJ Chark, Kenny Stills in 2017, and then Amari Cooper last year.
There he is.
Mm-hmm. So, like, this is, you know, it's, I don't know, in my mind it was a little bit counterintuitive because I think we think of Amari Cooper and you think, man, wins off the line of scrimmage, the slant routes, the comebacks, cross the field. But
he made some guy look stupid on regular occasions.
Yeah, and I think that's a result of, like, so he can make people look stupid off the line of scrimmage. He can make you look stupid immediately on a play. Uh-huh. And that probably all factors into why, what game was it when he was like, yeah, I told Dak, like, hey, screw these comebacks.
Let's Philly.
He's like, just listen, screw what they're calling. Forget all that. Throw it down there. I'm going. And I think like that part of his game is probably helped a lot by the fact that you are such a good route runner that dudes are already kind of in their own head, like, all right, when he stems me this way and he's going to end up the slant, like, they're so concerned with, can I get my hands on him? Can I stay right here in his hip pocket? That when he just takes off, there's some magic available for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Gallup has been their biggest yards per catch guy and down the field guy, but Cooper gets a decent amount of balls thrown down the field to him, and he measures out as one of the two or three premier deep guys in football, both in terms of getting separation more than would be expected, and in terms of expected points added when you throw him deep balls, Amari Cooper is in the top three of both of those on the deep ball. And I guess I just thought that was a little bit surprising because I think we think of him as more of a short and intermediate, really good route runner, but there's just a ton of value in, hey, go ahead and push that ball down the field. And they did last year. They had one of the deepest depths of target in the entire league. Dak was pushing it down the field. But Amari Cooper's secret weapon is throw that thing down there.
You think they harvest more of that gold now that they got three different guys? Or who out of those three, you know, is your deep guy?
Gallup's kind of been that guy.
Yeah, I think it's still Gallup.
I think they can all do it. And I think that's going to be the beauty of this offense is their tight end can now do it. Your third receiver can now do it. And Randall Cobb was a good player, but I don't picture Randall Cobb as a really a vertical threat. And I think now your slot receiver is. So everybody, and that's why the whole world is going to be so high on the Cowboys and they're going to be poised to let us down. And by the time we actually make a real pick, I'm going to pick them to win 11 games. It's going to happen. I've been picking 10 because I'm a coward, but I think I'm just going to go, like Gavin, you would say, and G-bag of the day. I'm going to vote my conscience.
There you go.
And I think this offense is going to be so good that I've got to pick them to win, like, at least 11 games. I got to do it.
All right. Giddy up.
Because they got three stud receivers. The molasses tight end is no longer holding you back. It'll all come down to what Brian keeps... Head coach is gone. It'll all come down to what Brian keeps talking about. Will your left guard and your center find a way to screw this up, or will you be okay there? Because if you're okay there, yeah. I think you're set up to be one of the, I will say, three at least best offenses in football, at least. I think Kansas City, Baltimore, Dallas, and then I'll consider New Orleans and maybe San Francisco. But you should be one of those teams. Otherwise, we should all be really just sad, disappointed, and furious with the Cowboys.
I hear you.
Now, I want to move on to the second thing I wanted to do here because it was a question that somebody asked me about. They asked me, could you project Blake Jarwin's stats this year? Because they think, you know, Witten's gone, giant numbers on the way. And I'm just going to throw this out here. And, Gavin,
yeah.
I'm ready for you.
Bring it.
If you want a piece, I'm ready for you.
Oh, what are we doing?
But this is the way I answered that question. Because Witten a year ago, for all the things that we'll tear him up about, he was slow and he's blocking the progress of Jarwin, and these things are all true, right?
Yes.
But I think he was also safety valve guy, where it's third and five and you call a pass play and you can get five to Witten, right? He can just put somebody on his back and be like, throw it anyway, I'll catch it, it's all good.
Yeah.
That guy doesn't exist anymore. And so... in answering a question about Blake Jarwin, it actually, I drifted towards CeeDee Lamb because as the guy who's lining up in the slot, I don't think Jarwin's that same kind of guy as Witten, where it's third and five, I'm throwing it to the tight end on a curl.
Yeah.
I think he's more of a get him across the field, get him down the field, and that over time as this season is going on, we'll realize the safety blanket isn't the tight end. It's the slot guy. It's going to be, well, it's hard to play press coverage on him, and he's got options of where to go, and he's got the most natural hands on the team, and this is CeeDee that I'm talking about. And I'll backtrack a little bit on some of the things I've said about him, Gavin, because if he had gone to a team where they said he's going to be our number one or our number two and he's going to play on the outside, that's where my CeeDee Lamb questions would have come into play. Because Big 12, didn't see a lot of press coverage, bad tackling. Yes, those are all factors. And if you said he's going to line up outside every play and that's what he's going to have to fight through is NFL corners playing press coverage, I'd go, okay, that'll be a new challenge for him. But I think because he'll be playing in the slot a bunch, it's going to be kind of like it was at Oklahoma, where you have space and you're not seeing a bunch of press coverage. And because I think he has the easiest, most natural hands on the team.
Love
and this
it.
Is where my brain went on a Jarwin question. I was like, well, I don't think the stats will be quite as big as give him all of Witten's targets. Because I don't think Jarwin will be the Witten safety blanket. I think over time CeeDee Lamb will be the safety blanket.
Do you worry about the fact that teams will put their best corners in the slot to go against him? or just to cover slot players?
No, I'll lose the over-under bet with Gavin on yardage, and that'll be fine, and Amari Cooper will feast, you know?
What if you put Amari Cooper in the slot instead of CD? Okay, now this is where I think I was following along with you about the path. I think that Blake Jarwin can be a spot up player, and I think he's going to. I think he's going to be a matchup problem for a lot of defenses. I really do. If you're going to be so conscious of what's going on the outside in the slot, who are teams going to be able to put on Blake Jarwin? Is he going to draw linebacker coverage? Is he going to draw safety coverage? You can cover Jason Witten with a linebacker and a safety. I don't think you can cover Blake Jarwin successfully with those types of players. So I think that you're going to see with what's going on the outside, what's going on in the slot, and then Blake Jarwin's understanding of how to play in space, I think he's going to continue to be a guy that you'll see Dak Prescott throw in his direction because every target to him is a good target with his reliability with his hands.
Yeah, I think, and that's why, to me, the expectations for this offense should be through the roof. Because you can talk about all these things in theory, right? A team, let's say it's week one, you're playing the Rams, and the game actually happens. Jalen Ramsey is going to go cover your best guy. So where's he headed? Amari Cooper, probably, right?
Sure.
In theory?
If he walks, right. If he's going to travel, yeah, Amari
right.
Cooper.
Right, if he'll travel, otherwise he'll be at left corner covering Gallup. But, you know, okay, we got our best guy, we're going to try to take out their best guy. All right, what's left? The first round pick, the 1,100-yard receiver over there, and the matchup problem tight end.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough for defenses.
I agree.
That's why I'm going to end up having these super high expectations again. And when they let me down, I'm going to call for the resignation of the entire team. And I'm going to ask Jerry, Oof. The owner, to fire Jerry, the GM. Because when you, I just, every time that you try to analyze the Cowboys offense and think about it logically, and all right, how are teams going to match up and what's your plan coming in to play the Cowboys? No matter what plan you draw up, man, it sounds like defenses are in trouble.
Well,
yeah,
it might be that, again, we talk about, if you start talking about the weaknesses of the offense, I think it's the weakness of what's going to happen at center guard, and it might be the weakness of what happens with the play caller. You know, if Kellen Moore reverts back to some of the things that we saw midseason, you know, then there's going to be problems. No, that's right. And that, it, absolutely. And, you know, so that can affect how, and if Mike McCarthy has to step in and take over, you know, you can't, not with this offense, you shouldn't have garbage.
Yeah, I mean, their red zone efficiency, their red zone play calling, when the game was between 20 and 80% win probability was atrocious, and it looked like a team that was scared of handing the ball over to the quarterback. You know, that if you're going to pay your quarterback like an MVP, at least have him be good enough that you can put the faith in your ability to score in his hand and not feel like you got to keep running it and running it.
I think Kellen Moore's going to be forced to do that. With Dak's contract situation the way it is, I think that he's got to prove to Jerry Jones that he can handle the load.
I mean, hell, we can get Tannehill to hand it off to Derrick Henry a bunch of times for $15 million.
You did that in 2016.
Right, yeah.
Wait a minute. Did you just fire a shot at Tony Romo, sir? Oh, you're talking about Dak 2016, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good conversation, as always, gentlemen. Jeff and Brian dig it, 420 every day. Of course, you can go back and rewind, listen to anything on the radio.com app. It's a great way to stream us.
And you dig it.
And you can stream us through the Twitch app as well. Yes, Dallas Fan Cam right there. You'll be rocking and rolling.
Fiesta.
Checking out the G-Bag Nation and all the shows via Twitch. Okay, when we come back, G-Bag Nation, it is time to go around the NFL here on the Fan. All righty, thank you very much, Lucius. It is time to go around the NFL here on your home of the Cowboys. Who's got it? Who wants it? Brian? Jeff.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Kavanaugh.
Go ahead, Jeff.
So, name that people have been asking about because if somebody is a free agent, people like to ask about him. Logan Ryan. You guys remember him? Cornerback for the Tennessee Titans last year.
Yeah.
Been in the league for quite some time. Been pretty good. Well, he's still a free agent. And his agent is doing really smart agent stuff right now. So his agent emailed all 32 GMs. Now, Logan Ryan has been a slot corner. That's what he's played. His GM said, hey, I want you guys to know, or his agent told all the GMs, he said, I want you guys to know, My guy considers himself a safety now. He's not a corner anymore. He's a safety. So he sends that to all the GMs. He says, you know, he's always listed as a corner. He views himself as a safety now. And knowing that, here is Logan's stats last year lined up with all of the best safeties in football. And he does pretty well when you do it this way. They put, you know, 16 games played, 73 solo tackles, 113 total tackles, 4.5 sacks, 18 passes defended, 4 picks, 4 forced fumbles. If you looked at this list, you'd go, holy cow, he's better than Honey Badger. He's better than Minkah Fitzpatrick and Jamal Adams and Harrison Smith. Like, he's the best safety in football, which is really fun when you play one spot and then say, suddenly I'm a different guy. I play a different thing. But it got me wondering, if you're the Cowboys, are you interested in adding a free agent late to throw in the mix? If you don't love what you have at safety or you don't love what you have at corner, and they talked all about versatility and can you play multiple spots? Well, here's a 7-year corner that's saying, hey, I'm a safety now. So I wanted to run some numbers outside of what his agent sent, which was just the counting numbers. So I did. Last year, Logan Ryan played 855 snaps as a slot corner, 243 as a boundary corner, and 180 snaps in the box. But I wanted to see the non-counting numbers. How'd you do? Gave up 69% completion, 8.2 yards per attempt, and he gave up over 1,000 yards receiving last year.
Wow.
So that's a lot. Now, that was over 19 games. They included the postseason games. That's a lot. Cheeto's in that ballpark, by the way, creeping up towards 1,000 yards given up. But it is interesting. Sacks, passes defended, picks, but also giving up a bunch of plays. And so I thought the name was interesting. And to answer Cowboy fans, no, I don't think they would be interested at all. But it's a name worth discussing because you're like, oh, wow, you could play the slot. You can play outside. You did play some snaps at safety last year. If you don't love what you've got as camp's going along, there's a veteran on the streets that can help a football team, maybe the Cowboys, Logan Ryan, ladies and gentlemen.
Would you rather have him or Snacks?
Him, I think.
That's interesting because that's a good question, General, because who's the backup one technique?
Snacks would upgrade Antoine Woods. So I think Snacks. I think I would rather have Snacks Harrison because I know that he upgrades somewhere, whereas Logan Ryan, I think, is just versatile depth. If you had injuries pretty much anywhere in the secondary, he could play. But I think Snacks takes a rotational spot as soon as he walks in.
I think the deal with Logan is you know, he's accomplished some things and feels like he should be compensated like that.
That's why I was wondering, why does he switch into safety? Because does he feel like that's more in line with money?
Well, he's trying to get money. Apparently, he set his market a little higher than teams were going to go for his services initially. And so now they're kind of on the back end of it going, okay, that didn't work. Let's get creative. This can make the numbers look really good and see what kind of money we can get, what kind of market we can create for ourselves. Because I think what happened is the market was just nowhere near what him and his agent thought it would be.
All right, around the NFL here in the G-Bag Nation, I'll take second down. Matthew Stafford's false positive is back in the news. It sent the QB briefly to the reserve list. Led to a quick change in testing protocol. Stafford talking about that in a video conference call today says he's glad the league attempted to correct the false positive immediately. Says it's a totally unknown for us, the league, the players, this organization. Everything's new and it's unknown. I know everything and everybody is doing the best they possibly can. I'm glad it happened to me at this point, and the league is doing what they can to try and change it and make sure this doesn't happen again. Yeah, you could imagine a very key game if a false positive would come up and take a guy like Matthew Stafford out. It could be devastating. So it's probably good news. They figured there was a problem with the testing protocols here in training camp.
How many claimed false positives are we going to get if a starting quarterback tests positive?
Yeah.
You just say it was false.
Yeah. You know, I think it's, you know, worth at least insisting that multiple tests come up negative. He says, I'm sure there's going to be another problem down the road at some point that we're going to have to figure out when we get there. That's the way this has been for the past 6 months. We've all been living it, whether it's the league trying to test thousands of players or just trying to go out and get groceries We understand things are going to change and we're going to have to adapt, but I'm just glad I got settled, glad it's over, and I'm happy to be in the building hanging out with the guys, getting a little bit of normalcy back when it comes to football. Yeah, the false positive, something that is unfortunate. It's, you know, people in the news world and government are dealing with it and, you know, trying to figure out. But you also have the false negatives as well, where for, you know, up to 3 or 4 days after you're exposed and the Rona is building up in your system, you know, it looks like you don't have it. So it's a pretty tricky business there. I'd like to be the outfit that comes up with the perfect Rona test. 100% clarity. Bang. Pay me, dude. You know, get that, a good mask you can breathe through, it's on.
Yeah.
And you would want that without jamming it all the way through your nose, out your eye, wrap around through the ear, and then down to the throat?
Yeah, I think it just goes up like right in between your eyes and then down into your throat, right? Oh, have you guys had one yet?
No, I had not.
I'm really hoping to, Gavin. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I think there's a reason we've only seen it a couple of times on the internet, because it's traumatizing to witness. And if more video got out, people wouldn't want to do it.
How is this not a TikTok challenge yet that all the stupid kids are doing? How are we not getting – they're grabbing something that's like a foot long and just jamming it up their nose and watching it
wrap around?
What do
you mean kids in TikTok? Everybody I see is 45 years old on TikTok doing dances.
No. Is that what it is?
It seems like a bunch of old cats doing dances on there, which I'm not hating.
Yeah, but I guess you do see some old, and then I think I'm starting to see a lot of cross-dressing, like the shock value of we're dancing, and the girl is the man, and the man is the woman.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they love the challenges. Oh, let's switch our clothes, babe. That'll really freak them out.
And she's like, what? And he's like, no, yeah, it'll be funny. Yeah. It'll be hilarious. Yeah. Yeah.
Put on your cheerleading outfit.
Yeah, yeah, let me get that.
That's when you know you've made a real success with your social media platform, when parents are doing corny things and thinking it's cool. Boom, you did it. You went mainstream. Here's Brian brought us with third down.
Guys, I brought this up yesterday about the NFL officials, and will the NFL be, at the end of the day, be disappointed that they didn't have full-time officials? But the officials now have an opt-out deadline of August 13th. So they've got a deal done with the league and the officials as far as the testing and how they're going to handle thing with the officials. This time of year is really important for officials because they would go to camps. Remember how many times that we've been there working and you would see the officials getting opportunities to meet with the teams and all that. And right now they're not getting any of that, any training at all. So I have a feeling that the first several weeks of the season might be a little bit hairy here, but the NFL officials have by Thursday to say whether they're going to work or not. And if they opt out, then they get a non-refundable $30,000 payment to go away. So keep an eye on, you know, on how all that is going to play out. How many of these officials, in fact, do step away? You know, it's a group that has a very senior group. They tend to protect themselves. You have a lot of veteran referees that probably shouldn't be refereeing games. I'll be fascinated to see how many of those guys step out and who do they replace them with. Now, if college football does not play, you know, we could see some college officials step in and take over some of those spots. NFL does have training for officials to bring them up. So, but again, keep an eye on these early games and how many officials are actually trained to handle it. But, you know, teams could be in trouble if some of these officials that aren't normal make poor calls against them.
As long as we get Hocules Kid out there, I think that's the legacy that needs to live on. Is we just
the
need
gun
a
show.
Sean Hockley, yes.
We just have to have a Hockley. As long as we have that, I couldn't care less about any of these other guys. We need to robot it up anyway. I don't know if you guys saw all of the Ranger game, but what inning was that, like the fifth?
What was up with that umpire last night?
Yeah, they get two singles to start the inning, and then they have two straight guys strike out on pitches that aren't strikes, and I was just like, you know what? I've been human error guy for a long time, and this happens a lot, where Gavin has some stupid theory that years later I'm like, that stupid theory was right the whole time, but I'm just figuring out. We need robots.
Boom.
That's two bad calls, man. Back to back. Ugh. Awful.
Yeah, man, it leaves you scratching your head. Like, how can we have put a man on the moon 60 years ago and we can't do better than this right now in a damn football game down here on Earth?
Yeah.
All right, there it is, Around the NFL, daily at 4:40. When we come back, the top stories of the day. We'll take a look at the hockey game that's going on, preview the basketball and the baseball, and the big college football news that broke at the start of our show today. That's next to the G-Bag Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.